Tailwind Nutrition.
And if you don't know what a Tailwind is, you're missing out. You put it in your bottle, you shake it up, it's nutrition. It gives you the calories you need, the electrolytes you need, and really, it's like a crew in your bottle is what it is, Scott.
And it's better than running against a headwind. And that's what you're doing if you don't take Tailwind Nutrition.
Love it.
I want to remind people about the Tailwind Challenge. They still have it. They started with the Tailwind Challenge because they're so convinced that this stuff works.
Mm-hmm.
It's still out there. Basically, what you do, you go sign up, you register, you get a discount on 4 packages of 50 servings each. So 200 servings, so you can train with it, get used to the flavors and how your stomach deals with it. And then you go run your race. If it didn't work for you, you don't like the flavors, or for any reason you're not satisfied, they will refund that $130. They'll actually refund your race entry fee up to $150. So they're putting another $20 in there because they're so certain. And I would bet that there's not too many people are taken up on this, or they would be bankrupt. They wouldn't be where they are.
Well, they're confident in the product, and for a good reason.
Go to our partners page, go to Tailwind Nutrition, and get that tailwind behind your back.
Health IQ.
It's life insurance. They take A-rated life insurance companies and pair them with people that are in shape, and then they get low rates because typically if you're in good shape, you have good health.
Yes, you do.
The other thing that they do is they do these quizzes that will help educate you and make you even healthier.
Love it.
Makes you better. We're going to do a quiz today. It's on running form.
I'm ready.
You ready for this?
Yes, I am.
Freeman?
Yep.
First question. When in the middle of a run, focusing on what can often improve your form and speed?
Ooh, cadence. Well, oh, go on.
You can't see that.
I forgot.
It's a multiple choice.
Okay.
Flexing leg muscles manually.
Well, no.
Tensing your arms.
No.
Looking down.
Negative.
Relaxing your body.
I'm going to go relaxing the body.
That is correct.
Good.
Next question. When using a treadmill, the risk of what type of injury might be higher than if you were on a track?
Taking a left-hand turn.
Mitochondrial infarction. Sorry, I don't even know what that is.
Heart attack.
Quad strain.
No.
Ankle injury or femur rotation.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to go with C.
Ankle injury?
Yes.
I think that. Okay, I'll say that. But oh, you're right.
Well, don't.
That is correct.
Scott, why
did
you
impressed.
Even doubt?
Our last health IQ education question is, side leg lifts are great stretches to improve hip range of motion.
Okay.
Potentially decreasing risk of what? IT band syndrome.
That's it.
Achilles tendon tear.
Nope.
Radial break.
Negative.
Ankle sprain.
Easy. That's IT band.
IT, you are correct. Congratulations, Don. You have scored well today.
And I qualify to be a healthy participant with Health IQ Group.
That means you also qualify to have reduced life insurance
rates. I'm in. Go to our partners page.
And link on over, or you can enter healthiq/TRN.
Ladies and gentlemen of the wide, worldwide ultra-running community, you are listening to nothing less than the greatest Trail Running Nation podcast on earth. It is the Trail Runner Nation podcast.
The problem with the message above is that it flies in the face of what we know to be true.
Yeah, I do own my own bar. every Friday morning on I Run Far, we open up and open up the taps.
You're recording this, aren't you, Freeman?
I get everything. Welcome to another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name is Don Freeman.
I'm Scott War.
Bob Crowley.
Tim Tweetmeyer.
Well, here we are. We're going to have a little discussion today about what you should and should not do on the trail or at an aid station. Is that right?
Trail Etiquette 101. This is stuff that is not written anywhere, but you should know. The noobs probably don't know, and they have to learn on their own. It's like going golfing.
Yeah.
And the first time and you're on the green and you walk across the ball path.
Right.
And somebody just screams at you and go, well, no one ever told me I can't do that.
You can't do that?
No. or the whole thing that the guy that's furthest away gets to. I never read that anywhere.
Just some
just
things.
Stuff you learn.
Stuff you learn.
The unwritten rules of ultra running.
So you guys, Tim and Bob, were having a conversation, had a run one night. Tim, why don't you kind of kick us off on how it is that this topic came about?
Well, we were having our normal Tuesday night run in Auburn, better known as The Hunt. Goes from
The Hunt?
The Hunt. It's known as The Hunt
From I need to know about the hunt.
Does it start with a trumpet?
I guess the I don't know the story word for word, but as I understand, it came from Oregon when Craig Thornley moved down, Lord Balls.
Good.
They were out running in their reflective vests and ran by some guy and he goes, "You guys going hunting?" It was a night run and they did, you know, all their flashy gear. So we do Tuesday night run. We were telling a story out on the deck and somehow we're like, "Well, that's not how it should work. You know, everybody knows you don't do it like that." And we're like, "No, maybe not. Maybe the rules of the trail and the aid station are not well understood by the new people." I was telling people, I go to a race. I don't hardly know anybody ever. There's all these new people coming into the sport. You don't read about this stuff in the books.
No.
You know, all the books are about, you know, how to run fast and run far.
Right.
And so this is like, I was kind of kidding Bob. It's like, you know, if you're the guy in baseball and you go in spikes high on second base to break up a double play, keep your head down on your next at bat, right? Because the unwritten rule says you're going to get one on the bean
right
the next time through, right? Or in hockey, you know, if you run the all-star center into the boards and over into the bench, there's going to be a line fight on the next shift, right? That's just how it works, right? There's policing that goes on in these sports, and there's unwritten rules that you really don't want to challenge, right? So I didn't know there were those, but we came up with them.
And we have some for the trail, is what you're telling me.
Yeah,
we're gonna have
a fun time with this too. As Bob and Tim came up with these topics, they kind of spun a little bit different and gave each of these items a title that is somewhat code.
Well, code for them and a mystery to us.
Yeah. So what we're gonna do is go through these and they're gonna say what the topic is and then Don and I, who have not been part of generating this list, we're going to try to guess what the topic is, and then they're going to explain. So it'll be a little fun, hopefully.
So shall we kick it off with the very first one? The first one listed under trail etiquette is Girly Man. And you two know what it is. Scott, what's the first thing that came to your mind when you read Girly Man and how it pertains to trail etiquette, the unwritten rules of trail running?
The only thing I can think of is maybe running form where you don't run with your hands out to your side.
Okay.
Like a girl, I don't know. I have no idea. That's my best guess.
You know what came to my mind? And first time I saw it. And it was, I rounded a corner, and I saw a female runner standing and with her shorts pulled to the side and standing up and urinating just like a man.
We're going to go there that quickly?
Yeah. it's only five minutes into the podcast.
You guys made the list. You could have put that down further. Yeah. But that was my first. I was shocked. My eyes popped open when I saw that, and I didn't even know that was possible, but apparently it is. Oh, either what, Scott
are
and
we
I close.
No.
Yeah. Strike one.
Okay.
Back to the baseball analogy. Strike one.
Yeah. But good ideas, though. Okay. You guys have probably experienced this out there.
That was kind of a slow pitch, too.
Yeah, well.
This is going to be a long podcast.
It could be. What's the time limit on these? Yeah.
So what is it?
I mean, this is the guy on the trail on a single track who won't let a woman pass him.
Oh.
You ever had that? Where you're running
checked,
and there's
right?
a guy, you know, and
he doesn't
know,
want to be
watching,
checked.
And there's a guy out there and he's doing everything possible not to let a woman go by him.
Yeah.
You ever seen that?
Oh, I've learned not to let them go by. I mean, there's some
right
talent
on by. You see all of a sudden they pick up the pace and they're got their elbows out and, you know, finding ways to, you know, cover the trail.
As a self-proclaimed back of the packer, I've learned this because they just push me out of the way.
It turns into a little bit like roller derby, if you know roller derby back in the day, the Bay Bombers. And
I remember
know,
that, yeah.
Dow Palace.
Yeah, bad form.
So,
and it happens all the time now, right?
Right. No, I've seen it happen. I've learned a long time ago that just because they're wearing a skirt doesn't mean that they don't have an engine underneath there.
It's okay to let them pass.
Absolutely.
It's better to let them pass. You know? There are benefits.
No. There are benefits. Okay. I agree.
Yeah.
I've always joked with Don that when we pass women either going the same direction or the opposite direction.
Scott, I don't think we've ever passed the same direction.
No, we haven't. We've been passed.
Yes,
when
yes.
we've been passed
there you
going
go.
The same direction.
Right.
You know, for some reason, they always smell way better than guys.
Well,
I don't know if they put perfume on before, but it's a pleasant
smell.
I
think the better strategy is there's try to let them go by and then try to keep up, you know?
Oh.
Okay. Now, that's the girly
don't
man.
Let them drop
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the better way to go.
That's a better strategy than being over like, her pass. No way.
It could be more embarrassing in the long run, though.
We didn't when say he's more embarrassing.
When they drop you.
So that's Girly Man. I was way off on that. Okay. Well, acknowledged. I'm down one. Strike one.
Okay.
Next up.
Failed liftoff.
So I have to say, when I saw that one, the only thing that kept coming to my mind was another term that I think Don, you and Jeff coined.
It was clean launch, right?
Yeah, it was called a clean launch, but I don't think, and that has to do going back to the defecating
on the trail, yep.
So that you don't have to use a lot of toilet paper. You just make sure that
you
have
these guys
clean,
are ending up in the same spot as everyone else.
So I'm sure it has nothing to do. Failed liftoff has nothing to do with that. But that's all I could think of.
Do you have a sponsor from Scott's facial
toilet paper
now?
We should.
No, it just shows how much imagination we don't have. So we can't get off of that topic. What is failed liftoff?
Wait, you didn't guess.
No, there could be nothing more than a failed liftoff than not being able to, you know, take care of business in a clean way on the side of the trail.
So you and I both have the same.
Unfortunately, yes, Scott.
Too bad. We thought this was pretty obvious. Well. It's when you fail to look before you launch your snot rocket.
Oh, that is so important.
That is so bad.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really, you know, you don't look left, you don't look right, you just let it go, and then somebody just walks right into it.
It's totally appropriate to do it as long as the area is clear, right?
Yeah.
Well, you got to stay out of the aid station zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're doing it, kind of right there in the chicken soup, or
there's a buffer zone.
Although,
there's a buffer zone. A
lot of good nutrients there. Salt, you know, if you need the extra sodium, but you really should ask before you offer.
It is a handy way to get rid of allergies and those types of things. A good run. Absolutely.
Or if somebody's following you, it's close. You can always go with, just kind of turn to the side.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll get the hint.
You know, I have to tell you, that's one of the skills that I have adapted becoming a trail runner is the ability to do that. My uncle, who was a farmer, did it all the time. And I always used to try and it would like come out about 3 inches and then come back and hit me in the face. And that would have all over my face. But I've become quite adept.
Well, you've got to think about the win factor. No doubt about it. Even the people behind you or... Yeah, I think that's good.
I've actually incorporated it into my everyday life.
Have you ever done it without running clothes on, just out in... This goes to the whole table.
I don't know whether I should admit this, but absolutely.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Guys?
Yeah, I'm on the bike all the time. It's regular.
Constantly.
Yeah.
But before you walk into the store. I just want to see where the line has been drawn, okay?
As long as you look and make sure no one's around.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all about the distance. you got to get good arc,
right?
You know, right, mm-hmm. But distance counts. This is where,
and right? It does
as
take
as a farm boy, you know that, right?
And it does take some skill to know how much of an angle you need to have your head so that it's not going to land on your hip, right?
Yeah, well, sure.
So it just takes. I mean, that's something that is
experience
learned
and practice.
Yeah.
Well, and not draw blood. That's the other,
draw blood.
Oh, yeah.
How much PSI horsepower do you have in yours?
Horsepower.
that's on the list coming down
here. I've never blown so hard I got a bloody nose.
All right, gentlemen. Have we hit the snot rocket deep enough? Are we good with that?
That's good.
Okay.
I'm drawing a blank on this next one.
So the bottom line is...
Whole subject blows.
For any new trail runner, that it's absolutely okay to launch snot rockets, providing... that you look at your surroundings, you factor in the wind, and you think about the consistency of this snot rocket, making sure how it's going to travel. There's a lot of things to think about.
You said that with a straight face.
It's a very serious topic, Scott.
Well, it enhances performance, too. And it's not on the WADA list of banned behaviors or substances. You can still snot rocket, clear your system out.
It's not outlawed in any of the races that you direct, Bob?
Fail any tests.
Okay, it's not okay yet. At Western States, you can do that? Okay.
Yep.
All right. Better uphill or downhill? I find it uphill is a good place for it. Downhill, I'm busy keeping track of where my feet are.
To worry about.
Definitely an uphill activity, right?
Yeah. Okay. Just watch the wind.
Good. All right. The next one, Bob, I'm going to let you go ahead and tell us this, and we'll take a guess.
Okay. Pass the ass.
Pass the ass. It's in bold on the list.
No, it's not.
Mine's in bold. Maybe I have a special.
Pass the ass, I got to come back. I mean, I have no idea, but the thing that, and maybe this is wrong, but the thing I go back to is the girly man, where if you do have a nice in front of you,
right,
and you need to pass, that maybe you just stay back there just because it's fun.
Possible. I had no idea, but as you're speaking, I'm thinking maybe it has to do with a horse, because a horse sometimes considered a jackass, and And we compete against the equestrians out there a little bit for trail space, and they always win because they're 2,000 pounds and we're not. And I find myself standing in poison oak at times, and the person on the horse says, "Be careful of the poison oak." I'm like, "Well, thank you. I kind of knew it was there, but it wasn't much I could do about it." So that's what I think past the asses. And I'm going to call the ass maybe the person that told me to watch out for the poison oak. So that's my thought on past the ass.
Kind of close, Tim. He's on the right track.
Oh, yeah, good.
What are you headed there?
So this is the guy who's starting to fall apart at the end of the race, and you're catching him, and you know you're going to get him, and you get up to him, and he goes, "How you doing?" "Oh, yeah, not so bad. I'm only on a training run."
Oh, that guy.
That guy?
Yeah.
You know that. Don't be that guy.
No,
don't. Yeah, I really don't care if you pass me here because I'm only on a training run.
Yeah, don't rain on that guy's parade. He's worked hard, managed himself well, and now he's passing you. Let him have his day.
Yeah. And if you combine that one with the not letting the woman pass, if this guy had a woman behind him, it wouldn't be a training run. It'd be a race to the death, right? I mean, it would be on, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean,
training run goes out the window.
Or, you're at the beginning of the run, and it's even worse than being run. "Hey, how are you going to do? You going to have a good run today?" Well, it's just a training run.
Yeah,
making excuses before they need it, right?
Yeah, that way, if you totally blow it, you know, 80% into the run, well, you know, we expected that.
It's better just to throw a compliment and say, "You're doing great. Have a nice finish," right?
Yeah.
Bob, you have something to say. I see you grinning over there.
No, that's it.
Has that ever happened to you guys? No. Have you ever known somebody? Yeah, I'm just on a training run.
Yeah, no.
You've had it happen, right?
Oh, I've had it happen, and I probably even said it. And I don't remember saying it.
When you were new, right?
When you were new. Before. From today forward, I will never say that again.
There we go.
I want to apologize to anybody that's out there that I may have said. This is just a training run for me. Woke up, two left shoes, lots of things going on with me today. Have a cold, I've been working a lot, haven't slept in 2 weeks, and then they run off, and I say, "Wait, I got more excuses, come on back." Chafing, I got all kinds of problems.
Yeah, just that rubber stamp. Yeah,
the rubber
not
stamp.
Not important how fast I'm going or where I am.
Good.
Tim, why don't you introduce the next topic here?
This is Too Close, Carol. Or Carl.
Mm. I think I have a good idea on this one.
Ready.
And this is the personal boundary of running.
Yeah.
You don't want to be, if you're following somebody, you don't want to be, there's a boundary. You can't run too close. And I have to say that I have been guilty of running too close. That's what I'm thinking it is.
I think this is a good topic. I really think that this is the only thing it could be, Scott. I can't think of them going any other direction than this.
You're so confident.
They may even change their direction based on our supporting it so much. This is an important thing. How close do you follow? You know, you want to be close enough that you can have a conversation. You don't want to be so close you ever step on that person's shoe. You don't want to be breathing down the back of their neck. Maybe they don't have the decent hygiene. You don't want to know that. You know,
I've been guilty of this to the point where if someone has to stop or do something, I run into them.
Oh, you can't
and
do that.
It's like the 2 second rule when you're driving or something, right? Are we right? Yeah. That's the question.
You're on it.
Yeah.
What is the distance?
What should we do?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we developed a nickname for a guy back east in Trail Animals.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say his name.
But you can say his nickname, right?
But
does
I don't
he
know how many times we said.
Yeah, no, say his name. He won't listen.
Does he know his nickname?
He might.
Okay.
So I don't want to incriminate.
Good.
But it involved Too Close.
Right.
And we told him 6, 7, 8 times, just back away a few steps.
Right.
You know, you can hear him breathing. He was almost stepping right in your footprint, right behind you. He never could back off.
Hmm.
And at one point, somebody stopped or tripped. He fell on him, knocked him down,
went
down the side of the hill together. That's where it all began for me. And realize, what is the right distance? Because it can become extremely annoying.
Sure.
Really annoying. So, I don't know. It's a good topic, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, what's enough? What's enough distance?
Tim,
I think it's depends who's following you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've got that too, where you have somebody behind you and they're like coughing or sneezing and making
snot
all
rockets.
Like, yeah, snot rockets. You never know where those are going to end up.
Maybe it's too snot rocket distance.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it, you know?
Oh, that's it.
But it's like, God, dude, you know, sometimes you just like step off and let them go by just so you can get some peace and quiet.
Yeah.
You know, it just gets annoying after a while.
But when you're tired, there's some real energy that if you're close to help pull you along, though. There's some times where it can be real.
What do you call that in cycling?
Drafting.
Drafting?
Yeah.
That doesn't work in running. So if you think that that's what you're doing, don't draft. There's no drafting.
Unless you have a rope tied to the person in front of you, then it works pretty well.
Okay. Usually I tell those guys, like, hey, let me know if you want to go by. Right.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
Because, you know, that's kind of my code for, like, dude, move back, or I'm going to just pull off. You can go by and have your fun, and I'll get back into my normal stride here.
So can you train dogs to do this? Because when I've run with dogs, usually they're either in front of me or on my, I mean, hitting my legs are so close. I don't think they can be trained to do
that. No, I don't know.
I guess you kick him in the head. I don't know. I should
my
say
dog.
Sorry, PETA.
Yeah, so I think distance is important. And if you have a pacer and you pick the right pacer, then and it's during a race, I think anything goes, because they're your property at that point, your pacer. Yeah.
There's a variation on this, too. When you're in a race and you're following somebody and they're setting a nice pace and they keep turning around going, go ahead, go by me. And you're like, no. You know, you're good.
Right, yeah.
I like what you're doing. If they stop and ask 3, 4, 5 times, you probably ought to go by.
That's a nice way.
Get the hell out of my shadow, you know. Let me follow you for a while.
Have you ever increased your pace just to lose that runner?
Oh, yeah.
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 Or stopped.
Stepped aside.
Stepped aside, let them go.
Just silently stepped aside, made like I'm going to go somewhere in the woods.
Clean launch.
Like every once in a while you go to a marathon, there'll be a guy with a beeping watch.
Oh, you know, how about that guy?
Oh, God, you just want to get that watch and smash it.
Yeah.
Just pound that thing into the
And to that point, about on trail, we're in trail etiquette stuff, somebody offering up trail intel. Somebody's going to tell me there's a mile and a half to the next aid station. I may not want to know that. I may trust their information about as much as I trust an aid station worker's information. And I don't need that. I'm in my own zone in my own place. Don't offer me intel unless
it was
I ask.
Half a mile, now you're bummed.
Now I'm bummed, right? And then when it's 2 miles, I'm like, come on, dude, you just really wrecked me.
You missed it by.
I think offering up intel only if asked. If I ask for it, give it to me. Otherwise I stay away from it. You guys agree or disagree with that?
Yeah.
Do you like intel offered to you at when people are, when you don't
depends
ask for
upon
it.
Who it's coming from.
Ah.
You know, if it's somebody I trust,
then good.
I had that happen to me just a few weeks ago at Air 50. Some guy asked me, and I always give it to him in time, kind of at the pace we're going, because you know, one person's mile and a half is another person's. You know, it's a big difference if you're running, you know, 8 minute pace versus 12 minute pace, right? So it's like he was running with me. We were going up. He's like, hey, we got 10 minutes till the bottom of the climb to the end. So.
Yeah.
So that was a little easier than, you know, oh, it's a mile and a half. But if that's all straight uphill, then that's a different story.
And just on a side note, that AR50, American River 50, that was your 36th finish, Tim?
Close,
is that right?
Yeah.
36
times.
Yeah, 37 times.
And they only do it once a year.
you're not including your training runs, right?
No training.
That's big consistency, isn't it, Bob? I mean, come on.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Crazy. All right. So I offered intel without being asked for it.
Okay. That's good.
Okay.
Bob, I think it's your rule. You're going to have to add that one to the list. We just need a good name for it.
Tim's going to take this next one.
So
good.
This is one that came up. It's called Can't Unsee That. This is from a friend of mine. I won't name his name, but we were on a training run at Western States one day, and we were coming around. We were somewhere between like Miller's Defeat and Dusty Corn. Beautiful downhill, the big trees. You're rolling. It's really easy running. And we came around a corner, and there was a woman next to the tree with her pants down. And so this rule is, you know, once he saw that, Mark will never be, never be able to run by that part of the trail and not think, oh, God, remember the last time I was here? So listen, if you're going to go do your business, you got to get off the trail where no one can see you, because nobody really wants to see that on the run, right?
No.
So,
guy or girl.
And the bigger the race, the closer people get to the trail and the less willing they are to move to the side or behind a rock or a big tree that nobody can see them. But really, man, just get off the trail so nobody can see you. It's really disturbing.
What is really funny is as you're describing that, I've only had this happen, seen women 2 times, and I can tell you in my memory, I can tell you exactly where it was.
So you can't unsee that, right?
Right.
And I see it. The bottom of Pig Farm.
Okay.
The bottom of Pig Farm training run. There was a lady there.
There's a reason they call it Pig Farm.
I thought I was alone. Well, no, this is a pretty traveled trail, lady. Get off
the
trail.
I was alone.
And the other one was at AR-50. at the race.
So, I mean, that fits right into there. It's like, okay, whether you're a guy or a gal,
you're right.
That's part of the trail etiquette. You kind of ruin the event for everyone else because there you go.
You cannot.
It's like, I'll never be able to run that pig farm again without seeing that woman, even though she's not there.
I know exactly where she was squatting.
And I can remember that same face, too. We weren't on the same run. Different run, but her eyes were wide open. Her face became white.
And she thought she was alone.
You got up kind of close, didn't you?
I have 20/20 vision. She wasn't that far off the trail. And we both had that moment like the deer in the headlamp where we're both looking at each other going, what do we do now?
Yeah. You know, you're trying to turn your head.
Yeah, my head goes down. I go, I'm not looking. It's not important to me.
It's all okay.
I never saw this.
So what's the proper etiquette if you're the runner and you do see that? Do you ignore? Or do you acknowledge?
This is where if you have a trail runner nation buff, you can pull it up over your eyes. That's what that's for.
Yeah, I think you acknowledge and just turn your head to the left.
We'll have to take a survey. We'll get back to you on the next podcast. How we want to handle that.
There are times, though, that you don't have a choice how far off the trail you get. It's like, you know, I thought I was a better management of this. It's just going to happen. And that's a trade-off, you know? Better to be seen than to have it run down your leg. That's what I say. All right.
I think we covered that. Make sure they're not running close to you.
I say that all the time.
Okay.
All right. Next one's bloodletting.
Scott, did you have any idea? You do? Because I have no idea. So whatever you say was going to be my answer. For us both.
The only thing that I can think of, and I think there are veteran runners. In fact, we have... some photo proof of Lord Balls, who should know better.
Ooh, good answer.
Who is wearing a squirrel's nut butter shirt?
Anti-chafing.
Where's the bell we ring for sponsors?
with two racing stripes of red blood going right down from the nipples. That's what I think it is.
Yes.
Nailed it to the guy, the time, the date, the race, and the sponsor.
The funny thing is that is something that everybody knows if they've been doing it for a while. But I can remember the first time it happened to me where I got in the shower afterwards and I screamed like a little girl. Then I went to our friend Jeff and I go, you wouldn't believe what just happened. He goes, dude, you got to nipple up, man. I go, what do you mean nipple up? Get those little round band-aids.
I introduced Craig to a guy who might be able to help him with that. Chris Thornley can help him with that.
Right. And just don't wear the white shirt if it's going to happen.
Right. Yeah, really.
Got to go black.
I don't know whether we've been clear enough on this. Yeah. What is nippling up, Freeman?
Well, you know, it's putting something to protect the nipples, whether it's, a band-aid, some athletic tape, some squirrel nut butter, something. Your hands. I mean, run with your hands on your chest if you have to. I don't care.
That's why we gave Craig those little tins he can put on now. From up under tin, he's just going to tape them on. It'll never happen again.
I'll tell you, it can happen to a veteran, though.
It does.
Yeah. Right. And I got caught in the middle of that. Remember that AR-50 that we ran together for a while? That happened to me in that race. And I was so I got caught off guard.
Stripes?
I had two of them, and it's because I wore that old Patagonia shirt that was almost like from like 2003. It's almost like sandpaper.
Sometimes it's
made out of pumice.
If it's raining,
and it was raining, it was it was exactly that. So I had run some long, long miles before that successfully. I mean, I had nipples of the veteran ultra runner at the time, except with that shirt. And all of a sudden, I'm going into aid stations like I've never been on a run before. You know,
who's the new guy?
Yeah, you know, people are telling me like, you know, you got a hill coming up. You know, and in ultra running, you kind of take it easy. I'm like, yeah, I got it. I know my shirt says I'm a rookie, but doggone it.
So has Craig Thornley been punished enough?
No, never.
After that,
never enough.
That'll always be brought up.
Yes. Okay.
World's worst sponsor
until
for
someone
his
does
brother's
really
company.
Worse than that, which might not happen for a while. Yeah, he'll be.
I saw him that day that we saw you going up Stagecoach, and we called him out on it. And he was running with about 25 people, and he pulled up his shirt to show us his chest. Just I don't know why this is deep in his psyche now.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah.
So the other alternative, of course, is you know you're in 100-mile training, right?
Yeah.
You can get the calluses going.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
So that's the best thing is just callus up.
Do you callus up? Yeah. Do you work with it like a cross training? Are you at home and you kind of rub them a little bit?
Put your hands back on the table,
John. Because two hands, two nipples, you just kind of work
on
it.
I'm sitting across the table from you. It's starting to scare me.
All right. Boy. Good. All right. Well, bloodletting. I never thought it was going to be that, Scott. I'm glad you pulled us both out of that. What's up next, gentlemen?
I think this one came from Bob.
Okay, Bob. Yeah. So, Bob.
Downwind. Downwind.
Downwind.
Good Maynard phrase.
Well, I think that's an obvious one for me, I'm hoping. I think it's just, you know, sometimes if you have that burrito before the night, you need to respectfully drop back to the back of the pack and then let it go.
I was thinking probably a little more graphic in
and you'd need to be any more graphic than I was and just
back to it going down your leg again? Are we yeah. Can't get away from that scene.
Well, that's you know, you got to check the wind direction before you urinate. That's what I'm thinking. Downwind.
Downwind. Yeah. Pissing against a flat rock, as
the last thing you want to do is start, because you can't stop midstream. You're just gonna get all wet, and that's not good. So I'm sure Don's more on the right track.
It was originally what Don was referring to, but we're going to have to add that codicil.
It's a corollary.
Pissing in the wind. Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
pissing in the wind.
It should
write a song about it.
Yeah, it's the whole, you know, particularly after you've dug into some of the beans from the aid stations and starts to percolate.
Sure.
You know, a few miles and you're shaking it up and then you're pulling up to the next aid station, right? And
right.
It's gurgling, sounds are being made. You know something bad is about to happen. And you go ahead and let it happen. I mean, with a circle of people around you, your pacer right there,
right,
trying to help you out.
Right.
And then, oh, it all just
The proper protocol there when you're on single track.
Wait, let me take notes.
Is to proper step protocol. Aside, let the folks go by, and then good you resume point. At the back of the conga line, right?
Right, yeah.
After you've, you know.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Tim.
Yeah.
If you're on a Jeep trail, right, you just take two paces back.
Yeah, you move to the side, no big deal.
Do your thing.
Yeah, everybody's
you're right back on the line.
Right, nobody's going to call you out.
And it is okay. Mm-hmm. To do it right,
well,
I mean,
it's
necessary.
It's like a snot rocket. It's where you shouldn't be embarrassed by a snot rocket. You should not be embarrassed by.
We're human. We're human.
Yeah.
So, speaking on that topic, are there some things you just absolutely will not eat the night before? I learned that a burrito from Chipotle with extra spicy hot sauce, no good.
No bueno.
No, I will end up with some moments of embarrassment looking at another runner. Eye to eye, trying to squat by a blade of grass that I'm hiding behind.
Clean launches don't happen.
It does. No, no. I cannot eat that spicy burrito. Anything for you guys?
You won't have to worry about too close Carl or Carol, though. Right? I mean, that's the good part about that. So these work together sometimes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Are there any meals that are just absolutely, I can't go there before a long run or a race that you do not do? Or is there something that is a
these
good...
These guys are veterans. They have iron stomachs.
I kind of look at the opportunity. You got to save it up for an uphill.
Yeah.
You know, a little extra boost. We were talking about
some power.
Cycling cheating earlier before the podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not cheating. I mean, if you get a little extra push,
it's all natural.
So you got to time it right.
Yeah,
beans are particularly.
Just make sure that you don't have anybody behind you. That would be poor form.
Bob, I was speaking more than just air. Okay. I'm talking some major issues.
Yeah. You guys, I think, have a problem, by the way.
We could choose to release this podcast if it doesn't.
We know somebody you can talk to afterwards.
What's your pre-race meal, Tim Tweetmeyer?
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti?
Brownies.
Yeah.
Ah,
spaghetti and brownies. Good.
Good enough.
Good. Bob?
I do like beans.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, he's from Beantown. Come on. He lives in Boston.
That's right.
Time.
Like
he's
what kind of beans? Refried beans or kidney beans?
Kidney beans, black beans. Yeah.
Okay. A lot
of cheese.
As a meal?
Boston bacon.
Oh, yeah.
Beans.
Yeah, we won't be running together next race.
Yeah.
Scott, what's your pre-race meal? Well, you're thinking, I don't know. Salad. Salad is good for me. I just like salad, some chicken, keeping it clean.
Too much roughage.
Yeah.
I don't like to eat before.
A good heifer? You're not chomping down on a good heifer?
A big steak?
No.
Huh.
I do like a good heifer.
Oh, here we go.
Especially if they're wearing a squirt.
Okay. All right. We went off the rail at 33:05 off the rail. Okay.
Okay, right. Now we're getting into the aid station etiquette.
Important, right?
Yeah.
We spend a lot of time on the trail, short time at the aid station, but you have just as many entries on aid stations. So we can make a lot of mistakes even at an aid station
and
spending short time.
And these are volunteers working these aid stations. Yeah. So you got to be kind.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. So what's the first one? And Scott and I will try to guess what it is.
This is the Wayne's World rule.
You know, I can't even go there because I've never watched Wayne's World.
Don doesn't watch movies.
I like movies.
I am a Wayne's World fan.
I like movies and not have seen
I've watched all of them multiple times. My son has a Wayne's World hat.
Is that going to help us?
No.
Okay.
I have no idea what this is.
I didn't know Wayne Campbell was an ultra runner. I just, you know, but we realized that when we were coming up with the podcast.
I have no idea what this is.
So
This is the rule where you can't get sick in the aid station
or
anywhere close to the aid station. Have you ever gotten sick in a run?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all the time.
I plan on it.
Every ultra runner that's been around a while has had that experience, right? I mean, if you're not getting sick in a race, if it's an ultra runner, you're not pushing hard enough, right? I mean, you should be working harder.
Too sunny blend day. You got to clear the stomach sometime and start over.
So, you know, if you remember, and they were talking about where, if you ever see SNL when they had Aerosmith and Tom Hanks, and they say, hey, you know, I think I'm going to hurl. And then Wayne goes, well, if you're going to hurl, I'm going to spew. And then, you know, then, you know, someone else is going to honk. And then we'll start this peristaltic chain reaction, right? That's kind of what happens if you do that somewhere near the aid station where there's a lot of people or other runners. So if you're going to get sick, you know, that doesn't happen instantaneously. It's not like you're bombing down the trail 100 miles an hour and they're like, I think I'm going to get sick now.
Right.
It's, you know, it's a ways coming, right?
It
takes a half an hour,
feel
an hour. You're grinding away. Like, I think I'm just going to feel a lot better if I stopped here. Get off the trail, just kind of like the other part. Do your thing, and then come back in like nothing happened. Because usually you feel a lot better, right?
Yeah. That's
kind of the turning point.
It is the control-alt-delete of the belly.
It is. Hard reset.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't do that where the folks are.
Mm-mm.
You know, because then, like I say, you'll start that peristaltic reaction and bad things happen to others. You know where we learned some of this, right, was the aid station at Devil's Thumb. You know, Dennis Zyloff, the aid station captain there. If you just rolled in there really feeling good, you wouldn't see any of this because they kind of quarantine people that are suffering. They're over in the side because they don't want them to soil the experience of the other runner. So when you roll into that aid station, it's called Hell's Kitchen, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're doing good, they'll just push you through, get you the cold towels, refill your water bottle, and start you down that big downhill. If you're getting sick,
you got to get the icy pop.
Yeah, the popsicle or the handful of pretzels. And then, but if you see over behind like this secret shroud, right, there's people getting sick and they're crying and there's interventions going on because that stuff has to happen outside the view of the aid station.
Interventions.
It's going to soil the other runners. You don't want them to be influenced by that, right?
So there's an unspoken no-hurl zone around every aid station.
Yeah.
It's like the cone of silence. There's a cone of unhurling.
Yeah.
And for noobs, I think what we should recommend for new our race directors or race directors with a lot of noobs running, we probably ought to chalk it out.
Put a sign out. You know, chalk you flag in the no puke zone.
A universal sign?
50 yards around each.
And then in the aid station, that's really, really bad form.
Like a guy bent over with a circle and a red line through it?
Exactly. We got that out
with an arched back.
We got to get Aaron on that.
We've got that big poster of AJ Dub.
We
Jizzle
do.
Whistle out in the back end of Craig's house. It's a perfect icon.
Well, I have to say thank you because my wife says I am a sympathetic barfer. So when my kids were young, that's one thing that I didn't do because if I saw it, smelled it, heard it.
Well, good ploy.
I'm joining in.
You started that early, so you didn't have to deal with that. That's a good move, Scott.
Yeah, nice.
And all new parents, I would suggest one of you quickly take on the
sympathetic barfer.
Yeah, that's what I would do. But you're right, Tim. You know when it's coming. And many times you elect when it happens. It's like, you know what? Done with this. And then the finger, how far down? How many knuckles can you get past your teeth?
Here's a question I would ask you along the same lines is, you know it's coming. And you know if you've done it many times, you know you're going to feel better.
Right.
But how many times do you just say, nope, it's not coming. I'm not going to let it come.
It's all part of the
and
process.
It's better just to say, let it go.
Yeah.
But I know that it's going to feel better, but I still just
bite it.
Bite my tongue and know it's
not. Oh, not me. I'm the opposite of that, Scott. If it's a chance to stop, then I'm all for it. And if it means I have to do this self-induced thing just so I can stop for a minute, it's like, I need a little break
interesting.
Here. Wrong. No aid station here. I need to make one.
What about you, Bob?
Let it go thing. Isn't there a Disney song?
we'll put it in.
If I didn't have anything to do with barfing, I think that's snow
Scott,
involved.
Just hum that to yourself just before it's going to happen. Just let it go.
That was nice, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, sir.
Good.
All right.
I just want to make sure it doesn't splash back on the shoes. That's poor form, right? I mean, you can't do that. You don't want to do
your
that.
Legs.
Yeah. That's what the Gators are for, Don.
You know,
that's what they're for, splash guards.
So about mile 60-ish, I remember Western States, there was a guy, a runner and a pacer, and this pacer had his hand on the back of the runner coaching him. Just and
like burping. Like
it was beautiful.
Scott just spewed.
it was
hold his hair back. Say, let it go.
It was beautiful, and I reminded my pacer the depths that this pacer was going for his runner. And wow. Lee McKinley, my pacer at the time, said, I don't want you to even think that I would ever go there.
Don't look over there. Yeah. Don't look.
Scott, do you have insurance on that apple that you just honked on yeah. sitting in front of you?
Oh, I did not see that one coming at all.
Apple care. Okay.
All right.
So
What's next? I'm pretty confident.
That was Wayne's World rule.
That was a very cryptic.
Right, so, what do you think Double Dipper is?
Double Dipper absolutely has to deal with the Vaseline, the public Vaseline jar at the AIDS.
You guys are getting the hang of this.
Well, we're not noobs. Yeah. Is that right?
All of these, you're just lubes, not noobs.
Yeah.
It's a fistful, right? And depends upon how many fingers are going into this.
This should be a video podcast right now because there's some gestures that are happening that would be helpful.
3 to 4 fingers going into the jar.
Right.
And then it goes where it goes. And then back comes the hand.
Right. No.
Back comes poor form. The hand.
Where you got to put the sign.
Oh,
up.
Man.
There's got to be
like,
a little gate.
Yeah. Poor form.
And here's what I've noticed. Sometimes the table is set up this way as you go in. You have your medical stuff with your Vaseline, and then you have your... and you know where I'm going.
That's the case.
And then you know where I'm going, right? The next table is the watermelon and M&M's.
You don't even have to grip the pretzels. You just stick your hand, your palm down.
So race directors, order is so important. Vaseline last.
Yeah, very end.
Yeah.
I mean, you can almost see that happen once in a while. You're just cringing like, oh... Dude just, you know, took care of the undercarriage and now he's going back for a second. You're like, oh, no.
Undercarriage.
I must be a new guy.
I think there may be some noobs listening to this and going, Vaseline? What?
Yeah,
why would
you? What? Yeah. Squirrels.
Explain what the Vaseline
explain
is.
Explain it.
Well, I mean, it's a natural petroleum lubricant. And there's places.
And why would you use it? Where do you typically see people using it?
Is this you want to go here?
Yeah, the undercarriage.
We aren't going to get any worse than where we've been.
Well, anywhere where skin rubs, right? And it could be underneath the arms. It could be between the thighs. It could be absolutely if you've had that burrito the night before,
crack of dawn.
You have got to go. You have got to go there. If there's anything that can take one of the toughest runners out of a race, it is that spot. I mean, if it gets hot in no man's land. I'm going to tell you, you've got to lube up.
Cheek burn.
You've got to lube up big there. Yeah, and ample.
And have you caught yourself or seen anybody where it's gotten so bad and they're far enough away from the lube jar that they've had to take alternative measures?
What would that be?
I'm
the naked run.
No. I've heard rumor of that.
The naked.
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's kind of like the Yeti. It's hard to spot, but it does happen out there.
I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah.
I may have to try that sometime, actually.
Is it like looking for Bigfoot? We've heard about it. We suspect it. Have you ever actually seen a naked runner?
I haven't, but I've heard firsthand the story.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
From a reliable source, Tim?
From the source.
Oh.
From the Yeti.
Go ahead and share it.
Yeah.
Well, it's a story that's only be told firsthand, but it was told at the Western States campout a couple years ago.
Which is reason enough to...
It was hysterical.
You should volunteer to go clear trail at Western States.
Let's just say you'll learn. The bottom line was there was a heavy chafe going on, and the easiest thing was to just go commando.
Oh.
The rest, till the aid station, and they found a way to cover up.
That's
a great story.
There are some interesting gates that come about if you're not paying attention to that.
That's the nth level of
And the bonus tip on that is in order to get the shorts dry, you can air dry them on your head. It saves you from getting a sunburn as well.
I don't think I'm putting that on my head.
Keep the sweat from pouring down into your face. It's like a headband. Yeah. But
there's a whole other set of rules that you shouldn't be doing that for, but we don't have time today.
You know, they put that, the squirrel nut butter. We'll go back there again. This is brought to you by squirrel nut butter, apparently. Small sticks, speed sticks, right? That can fit into your shorts. You can use them as you need any time.
But and there's no double dipping with that.
Because it's yours specifically. Yeah. But have you ever been equipped with that and then been out on the trail and think, you know what? I think I can pull this off. I think I can get here and do my lube now. And all of a sudden up over the knoll comes somebody's like,
yeah, you got you.
Just lubing up here.
You're working the undercarriage. Yeah.
Just lubing up.
Looks kind of weird.
Lubing up. I got to warn you, though, sharing the stick is kind of like sharing chapstick. You don't know where that's been.
No.
And same goes for the stick. I mean, if somebody just hands you a stick randomly... You might want to check where it was just prior to being handed to you.
I've thought about that. because I thought, if I have to loan this stick to somebody, mm-hmm. what I would do is find a rock and take it, you know, a few millimeters off and say, hey, it's all yours, clean, ready to go. So I prepared for that.
There's nothing better than a little rock gravel yeah. for your friends. Yeah.
Thanks for the help in the rock gravel. Yeah.
That's a very you need a little pumice thing. Yeah. Take off the top layer.
Yeah,
that's right. A very charitable of you.
Well, I think you end up with two blood stripes going down you if you use the embedded squirrel nut butter. Okay. What's up, guys?
Tim's got this.
Tim?
Oh, yeah, this I got from this another person we know. MJ lives out on Roby Drive. Mm-hmm. Works all the aid stations. It's the guy that... It's called Ice This. It's a guy that rolls into the aid stations with one of those little bottles. It's got like a top that's about the size of a nipple, thimble, and goes, hey, can I get some ice in that? You know, and aid station people are like, what? I didn't bring my blender with me. I mean, how am I going to get ice into this thing, right? You probably haven't been running too many races where there's a lot of water bottle refilling to realize that, you know, you need something that's large enough with an opening that you can just pour ice in there. Out of a pitcher.
Which was exactly me, Tim, in my very first AR-50. Nice. I come in, and I have a picture of it somewhere, at least in my mind, where I had the six small bottles.
Yeah, the fuel belt or something.
Right, around the waist.
Oh, you must have looked like a triathlon guy.
I did, yeah.
You had the six shooter on.
Yeah. And so I roll into the AR-50 aid station about mile whatever, and I've got all six of them in my hand. Yeah. I'm finding volunteers. Yeah, you take these three, you take these three.
Did I get ice in all six of these?
Yeah. Yeah. And then I have the GPS on my arm, the old-time Garmin Timex one. You had this big thing on your arm and a watch, and then another watch. But I don't know what it was doing. One was GPS. One was my heart rate. Yeah. And I asked the guy at the aid station, I said, what time is it? And he looks at me. and I've got two watches on. And he goes, dude, I don't know. I said, by the way, can you fill up put some ice in my bottles? He's like, get out of here.
We're not here. We're not icing those here.
I'm telling you what time it is.
I didn't realize this podcast would have been super timely for you, what, 10 years ago?
No, yeah. We're doing an intervention for a 10 years ago me.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the time machine. It's like Back to the Future.
We have a time machine.
Yes. In the store.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Next one is called Drip Dip.
This is a good
drip
one for Bob.
Yeah. So I'm going to go. No, well, here's my thought. You know, it's a hot day. And the guy bends over the table. Gals wouldn't do this. They're much too thoughtful.
At the aid station table?
Right. And he bends over to get some M&Ms, and he's dripping into the M&M container. And now all of a sudden the colors are starting to blend and run together. And he reaches in, maybe picks them up, drops them, and goes, nah, I don't want those. They're kind of slimy. Dude, they're slimy because of you. So that's what I think it is.
That was a very vivid picture.
Well, yeah, I might have.
Almost as if you...
Done that
it firsthand,
or done it 10 years ago? Thanks, Tim. Okay, drip dip.
You got it.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and the variation, of course, is not only is it pouring off the brim of the cap, but the person's going up and down the line,
looking for everything,
right. everything. So he's strafing the table, so spreading the drip all over the place, and the aid station person is standing there with deer in the headlights looking.
Sure.
They can't speak. They're like, I can't believe this is actually happening.
They're looking through the aid station what to do manual and they can't find, I don't have anything for this.
That's right.
Yeah. So if you're a heavy sweater, back off.
It's not any different than stepping up to the aid station table and just deciding that's where you're going to urinate. Just go ahead and pee on the table.
That?
No, but it's synonymous. It's like that. Okay. I mean, it's sweat coming out of your head.
Okay.
Right? It's that bad.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Not that bad.
Okay, so Don, as a note, edit 4740 on the podcast. Okay, which I won't.
Right.
We were trying to keep this a family show, but that's failed.
You didn't come in with
the first 30 seconds.
30 seconds in, we
you
lost
didn't
that.
Come with a family list. Is this a family sport?
Okay. All right. I've got the next one. Beam blind.
It's a good question.
Beam blind.
I've got this one.
I have no idea.
Oh, come on, Scott. Really?
Beam blind.
That's an easy
one.
Oh,
I know and it can be combined with the last one.
Yep. Yeah.
I know what it is then.
It's coming in and burning the retinas of your volunteers with these. Now, it wasn't a big deal when 60 lumen happened to be like the big guy on the, you know, on the forehead.
When you had an incandescent bulb on your head. Now you have these
5,000 lumens.
Yes. Yeah. You have to have a fire permit to start some of these head torches up.
So the best thing to do, turn it off when you come into the aid station. Most aid stations are lit.
Yeah, they don't get plenty of light in there. They don't need your headlamp helping.
No.
Yeah.
It's sometimes tough because
you forget. You're
tired.
Yeah, you're tired. You're dripping all over the weight station. You're peeing all over the ground.
You can't see it.
Right? You're beaming people out.
You've got blood coming down out of your chest.
Yeah. This, may be a good...
You just yacked about 10 feet behind you.
In the yak zone.
Yeah. This may be a good pacer thing that they need to know.
Yeah.
So the
yeah.
pacer is mm. fresh.
Good
they
idea.
Need to say, hey, dude, turn off your headlamp when we come into this aid station. Yeah.
Right.
That's a good
yeah. pacer call.
Yep.
Yeah. 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 The other thing is remember to turn it back on when you leave. Little stumbling going
well, and the same goes though when you're out there on the trail in between aid stations and you're coming, you know, across another runner and
don't
you're running
them
at
in the face.
Yeah, how are you doing with the beam in their face? You know, you have to be aware, you know, tilt your head down or put your hand up a little bit for some to shield it. Is that where we were going?
That's right.
We'd probably call that one cupping.
Okay. Is that back to double dipping?
That's, yeah, that's a different definition.
Yeah, it's what happens when you have a lot of chafage going on and you're trying to figure out how to
you're
get
cupping.
You cup.
Okay.
All right.
Ooh, we're coming up on the end of the list. We're second to the bottom.
All right.
Yeah, so these next two kind of go together.
All right.
It's the Earbud Bingo and Ska's the Limit.
Earbud Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when I thought of Earbud Bingo as, well, two things. We're in the aid station, but same goes for the trail. Just being unaware of your surroundings, you know? A guy's behind you saying, hey, I'm on your left, can I get by? And you're just running along, happy like you're the only person on the planet. On your left, like to kind of squeeze by when you find a chance. Yeah. And he's still listening to Aerosmith.
Yeah. There's a guy that rolls into the aid station. You kind of he's shouting at you because he's got me. Can I get some ice in here?
Yeah. In this little bottle?
Yeah.
What? What are you saying about my headlamp?
That's right. Because he's got the music on so loud and he won't turn it off in the aid station. The aid station people are about ready to slap him. You know, turn your music off. You know,
we should have
some
scissors.
We need a lot of signs when you come into the aid station, like no puking, turn your headlamp off, no music. Then you can resume, you know, when you get on the other side. Make sure people remember this.
Or we ought to arm aid station people with tasers. That's the alternative.
Yeah,
just tase them out.
We should try it. We should try that. Equip an aid station.
Maybe we need to like sponsor an aid station.
Like a beta test.
Yeah.
Not real powerful. Not to take a guy out, right? Yeah. Just to make him think.
Yeah.
Just make him think.
A little something.
in the torture zone. Now, speaking of music on the trail, I was, and it was your race, Tim. It was the Western States. I'm label that your race because you have some say in that, so maybe we could stop this in the future through Sandy Bottom, so we're miles long stretch, whatever it is,
75
right?
to 78 in there. Yeah.
And the guy has a backpack on with a radio going.
Yes, that was with me when we ran.
Yeah,
it was a pacer
running with this. I mean, you could hear it for a half a mile behind and a.
Yeah.
Half a mile ahead.
He had speakers on the back, somehow integrated into his Camelback, that were blaring.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the next one.
Oh, what?
Ska's the Limit. It's like, okay, listen, man, if you're going to run and you don't use earbuds, nobody wants to listen to your playlist other than you. Okay. So if you're going to do the speaker thing, right? Do that in some other event, right? You know,
it's not, littering.
Not
it's
any
littering.
Of the conga line people behind you want to hear your latest playlist or your ska music or whatever you really like, right? Just turn it off and let the race proceed as it is, right?
So Tim, what kind of music do you listen to when you're racing?
Most of the time I'm listening to album rock or country. You know, Aerosmith, right?
Yeah, that's why I brought Aerosmith up.
Van Halen, you know, and then, you know, once in a while I'll hit some country.
How about you, Bob?
Yeah, country rock.
Country rock.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to music at AR50 the other day and ran as I was going up the hill, got Crazy Train on. How as good as that?
Nice.
Timing, right?
No, that's very good.
Mile and a half to go, and you got Crazy Train going like 11 on the volume. And then you're yelling at people at the finish line because you don't get your music on.
What about you, Freeman?
Oh, I like, what do I
You're
like?
You're pretty eclectic.
I am. So I listen to a little bit of everything, a lot of podcasts. You know, I like
podcasts.
He only has one on his
podcast.
Do you save podcast 75 when you're coming up last cast?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah. That's your keeper.
So what is the most motivational podcast that you've that we should, you know, as a recommendation, so we really inspire us?
I don't know if there's
any
that are motivational. I can't think of a motivational one. And I've listened to a lot.
None of these have been motivational?
No. Well, we don't listen to this one.
I think this very one is what I'm going to queue up just on a repeat.
You will not.
Have you guys ever made a playlist specifically for a race?
Ooh, I like that.
No.
No.
Just the closest thing to it is a song. you know, but you're kind of saving it for that right moment, and I'll throw it. It's more than a feeling from Boston.
Okay.
Because
right? Well, he's a bean town guy.
I'll throw that one on at the right time. That's as
I got him on my list. Yeah.
So out of in a race, and this goes to all three of you, do you ever go to a race without music? Do you have it on your person at some point? What percentage of the race do you listen to music? First Tim, Bob, and then Scott. Tim, what percentage of the race?
Maybe the last two-thirds.
Yeah. Two-thirds of a race?
This is a race, right?
Not training run? Not training run.
Yeah, probably an hour total.
Of the entire race?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I do it for like a treat.
You bring it for a treat?
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, certain times when I'm feeling kind of low, I don't like to listen to it. I listen to War and Peace,
He does. He's
a lot of classical.
He's out there for a while.
Long time. I'm glad you said it, Tim.
I am at the back.
A real treat. An hour of
you want to know what the back of the
really
pack's listening
going.
To? Just yeah.
I put it on half speed. War and Peace.
That's when you want to keep the pace low.
Yeah. Keep my heart rate down.
That's right.
Yeah. Scott, what percentage of the race do you listen to something?
You know, I learned this before I ran Western States from Lee McKinley.
Right.
He said, save the music until you've finished 30 miles. That is your reward for getting 30 miles into the race. So for a 100-miler, which I've only done one of, I would say, and I would listen to it maybe for the last 70 miles, maybe half of it.
Hmm.
But
that's a lot of music.
I get so tired of music. I listen to audiobooks.
That brings up an interesting topic. So while you're out there running your pacer, you're listening to music and they're talking to you and you're not saying anything, right? You're humming along, no, 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 no. And they're going, hey, we're about an aid station. You need anything?
I will tell you, and Don knows this.
Dixie Chicks.
I really do not like country music. But for some reason, when I am running, the Dixie Chicks do it for me.
I think you're trying to run away from the sound.
Maybe that's it. But he always knows when we're running together,
angry?
and I click on Dixie Chicks and the pace picks up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about there.
I always enter a race with music on my body, and I really don't. I'm busy thinking, and so it's a security blanket for me. So if I need it, it's there. But I probably, like you, Bob, I probably only a couple hours for a whole race that I would use it. But I've had some wonderful memories as I look back into some real dark times that I just plug in to some music.
Right.
And sometimes the song will just repeat over and over because I'm too out of it to figure out how to make it stop doing that. And all of a sudden I'm just into this song over and over. And it's like I'm on a treadmill of I don't know what I'm in. Just the same song repeats over and over. I remember that.
I'm trying to remember it. I'm having a brain fart here with his name, but you'll know who it is, that had a whole bunch of the Apple shuffles.
That's John Nichols.
John Nichols.
Yeah.
He has like 10 of them.
Yeah.
The loaded
he
with
races.
Loaded with different.
You can't buy them anywhere anymore. John's got them all.
Yeah, he had like 20 of them one time I saw. He goes, oh, you need some music? Here, this has what on it?
Got my favorite ska music on here. Yeah. Try this one. No, you don't like that? Try this one.
Oh, man.
Well, there are a lot of things that you get to learn about in this sport. No, there's no doubt about it. There's a lot of unwritten rules.
That's one of the
rules.
Fun things about this sport.
And looking back in the things that we used to do or learn along the way, and it's okay to make some mistakes, and it's okay to let people know that you can learn some things too. I don't know what that meant. That was my attempt to try to summarize what we were saying.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
What time is it?
Very good.
Took him a while.
Time for me to figure out how to close a show. That's what it is.
Well, we appreciate your wisdom. You guys have done a lot for the community. You've been out there for a lot, and we appreciate. I think that it's important that we share this information rather than kind of being a jerk and letting people try to figure it out on their own.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And we teach each other a lot out there. I've learned all of these things from somebody coming up and saying, "Hey, you really don't want to do that." And I appreciate each one of those lessons.
That's how this podcast started.
Yep.
Is to share knowledge.
Yep, and finding people like these two, Bob Crowley and Tim Tweetmeyer, to help bring it to each one of us. So we appreciate you guys. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for getting us up to speed and reminding of us some of the things that maybe we've forgotten.
Hey, we're hoping to get back next year. We're going to come up with another list, I think.
Oh.
We're trying. I mean, you know, we're going to hunt deep.
We should hear from the loyal listeners. Right, yeah. Right in.
Yep. You don't have
you
to
see
wait.
Bob and I at the races are running, and let us know what the rules are that you didn't know about when you came into the sport.
Very good. Well, gentlemen, go out and run.
Mass.